Toto. I don't think we're in 2019 anymore.
Howdy, everyone. Welcome to this here electronic engineering podcast brought to you by EEJournal.com called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. Welcome to 2020, y'all. I think this year is really going to be in focus. You know what I mean? So yes, as we head into the next decade, you know what we need? We need a movement towards spine leaf architecture and die-to-die connectivity in our hyperscale data centers. Of course. But we'll get to that in a bit. We also need trees. Lots of them. Everywhere and anywhere. And you know what Johnny Appleseed would say? Let's get cracking on planting. With a little help from Kickstarter Corner. Everyone, let me introduce you to my favorite Kickstarter campaign of the new year, Flash Forest, which hopes to use drone technology to rapidly accelerate the rate of tree planting and ecological restoration on a planetary scale. And get this, for every dollar you pledge, they plant a tree. So this high-flying Kickstarter campaign is brought to you by Flash Forest, a Canadian drone reforestation company that, get this, modifies drones to fire rapidly germinating tree seeds into the soil. With a little help from Droney McDroneface, the newest superhero in the fight for the planet, this Canadian company has the ambitious goal of planting 1 billion trees by 2028. So there are three parts of this campaign that really set it apart from the rest of the pack. The custom Flash Forest pods, the accelerated seed germination, and their UAV technology. So let's start with the last one first, the UAV tech, which is actually a fleet of different drones. A multispectral mapping drone that gathers data to determine the best microsite to plant each tree and monitor the health of the seedlings. A spraying drone that supports the seedlings with nutrients in their key first years of life. And finally, the tree planting drone, which has been equipped with pneumatic firing devices, which are controlled by Flash Forest software, that fire the pods into selected sites. And these pneumatic firing devices actually fire these pods into the earth at a rate of one pod per second. So, the pods themselves. Each of these Flash Forest pods contain a number of things: pre-germinated seeds, fertilizers, and Flash Forest's secret sauce, which, according to Flash Forest, can remove up to 2 years from the growing process compared to their competitors. So, what makes this Kickstarter campaign so special? Well, first, with drone reforestation, that'll speed things up a lot. Flash Forest claims that they are able to plant 10 times the speed of a human planter. Flash Forest is also being conscious of tree diversity. They are aiming for an average of 8 different species of trees in those nutrient-packed pods. And the cost? Well, with Flash Forest's 3-year objective to plant each tree at a cost of 50 cents per tree, the costs for this program run at about a quarter of the cost of some price estimates of current reforestation programs. So, with just a couple weeks left to go with this Flash Forest Kickstarter campaign, some campaigns are still available, from $1 all the way up to $8,000. With $25, you can get 25 trees planted and a digital card. A $99 pledge will get 99 trees planted. You'll also get a digital card and a Flash Forest t-shirt. At $275, your pledge will get 275 trees planted. You'll also get a digital card, the t-shirt, a Flash Forest coffee mug, and a 1-year carbon footprint offset. So, the timeline for this campaign is coming pretty quick. Flash Forest is looking to go into full pod production in February of this year, and starting a new round of planting in April. And by December of 2020, Flash Forest hopes to have 150,000 trees in the ground. So if you want even more information about Flash Forest and their awesome Kickstarter campaign, I've included a link below the player that will take you directly there. No drones needed. And now it's time for the future of data centers. Die-to-die connectivity and rack-to-rack communication with Manmeet Walia from Synopsys. We're talking about all of this and more. Hi, Manmeet. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Amelia. Thank you.
Okay, so we are talking about some pretty big numbers today. 400 gig, 800 gig, hyperscale data centers. But let's back up a little bit first. What are the biggest trends you're seeing in this space?
Yeah, absolutely. So the data traffic continues to increase, as always. But the big difference this time is that this growth in data traffic is happening machine to machine and not machine to user. What this means is that machine to machine traffic is growing very rapidly, and we continue to see the need of bigger and fatter data pipes. So you see all these numbers going up from 100 gig to 400 gig to 800 gig, etc. But in terms of trends, as these data pipes are getting fatter, what this is doing is it's changing the very fundamental architecture of these networks. What used to be your traditional tier 3 type networks with a lot of switches in between growing vertically have now transitioned themselves into what is now referred to as spine leaf architecture. These architectures are now growing horizontally so that these machines can talk directly to each other through less layer of switches.
Sure.
So again, these are referred to as leaf spine architectures, and they are growing in the horizontal direction with less switching layers in between, and that allows these machines to directly communicate to each other for low latency links and to enable faster machine-to-machine communication. A couple of other things are happening as well. As an example, the complexity of networking functions is also growing very much.
Sure.
So a lot of more processing power is required. As an example, what used to be network interface cards or NIC cards are now turning themselves into smart NIC cards. Mm. What smart NICs essentially refer to is that these are adapter cards with a lot of processing power built into them. And these can be specific processing power like security functions or AI functions, etc. Or this can just be generic processing power that can be applied to any functions. So we're beginning to see a lot of increase in the processing powers with these smart NIC cards. Some of these other things is cache coherency. A lot of the artificial intelligence, machine learning type devices, which again require a lot of compute power, they also need a lot of cache coherency.
Sure.
So we are seeing emergence of these cache coherency protocols like Intel recently announced their Compute Express Link, or we have had C6 for some time now. So we are seeing this emergence of a lot of these cache coherency protocols. Also, as the complexity of the networking functions is increasing, as a lot of the compute power is increasing, a lot of times what is happening is that we cannot put all this functionality in the single die. A lot of these SoCs are either approaching or exceeding the max reticle size. So what our customers are now doing is they're breaking this functionality into multiple dies, and they're connecting these dies together for what's now being referred to as die-to-die connectivity or die-to-die PHYs. So we are seeing emergence of that new trend. It's also referred to as Moore's Law of Packaging as an example.
Yeah.
I think Intel called it Moore's Law of Packaging. That's an interesting way to put it, you know, because as all of this complexity is increasing, you just cannot pack all the functionality in one die.
Right.
We are either approaching the max reticle size or exceeding the max reticle size, and it's becoming essential to break it into multiple dies and then connect these dies through very low power, very small PHYs or HPI type IPs.
Okay, Manmeet, let's talk a little bit about the connectivity story here. Now, connectivity in any data center design is huge, and in these hyperscale data centers, that seems to be especially important. So what do you think are the biggest challenges in the connectivity space here?
Really, cost is the biggest factor.
Sure.
I think it was referred to as the only religion in the data centers. It's all about cost, cost, and cost.
That makes sense.
Let's start at connectivity within a line card or within a blade, right? Within a blade, we would have more like chip-to-chip connectivity. So you need PHYs or SerDes technology that can do chip-to-chip communication.
Sure.
Then all of these line cards or blades go into a rack, and they typically talk to a switch. It's referred to as top-of-the-rack switch.
Okay.
And all of these line cards are now talking to this top-of-the-rack switch. And this is typically today, even at speeds of 25 gig moving to 50 gig, and then eventually moving to 100 gig, these are still copper cables. These are up to 3 or 5 meter copper cables. Now, as things are moving to from 50 gig to 100 gig, this is likely going to get reduced to 1.8 or up to 2 meter copper cables.
Okay.
And in turn, what's going to happen is this top of the rack switch, the switch that sits on top of the rack, is going to move to middle of the rack. So all of these line cards that are plugged above it, they now have to connect through shorter copper cables, which are going to be about less than 2 meters. So you can see as the speeds are increasing, number one, we cannot go longer distances.
Right.
And number two, you know, if we can get cost of optics down, then eventually, you know, somewhere around 100 gig or beyond 100 gig, things have to move from copper towards optics eventually. Now, rack-to-rack communication, once you have all these blades into a rack, rack-to-rack communication is already happening with low-cost optics. You know, shorter distance up to 100 meters within a room or room-to-room, building-to-building, this is already happening at the optics level. But so far, within a rack, that's where all the bulk of the volume is, where each one of these blades talks to the switch. And that's today happening at copper. Eventually, as speeds get faster, it's going to move from copper to optics.
Cool. Now, you guys have a new design where 112 gig Ethernet PHY in TSMC N7 that helps solve some of these problems, right?
Yes, exactly. So we are building this PHY, keeping where it's going to get deployed in the high-performance compute servers, in some of the AI chips, in some of these radix switches, in some of these smart NIC cards. And what often happens is our customers want to pack like tens or even hundreds of lanes of these in a single SoC.
Yeah.
So we have to make it really, really small. Not only small in area, but it has to be very beachfront efficient. We have to build it in a way such that our customers can place this on all four edges of the die, and so that they can go deeper inside the SoC.
Sure.
So we can have multiple rows of these PHYs going into the SoC. The bottom line is we have to get a lot of density of these SerDes lanes into the SoC. So we're building it with really small, small beachfront, small area, and capability to put it on all four edges of the die. The other thing is power. It's all about power. Power is becoming extremely, extremely crucial. So we are talking of numbers that are less than about 5 picojoules per bit at 100 gig speeds. And the other thing is we're doing is we're building a lot of these power performance knobs. These are like knobs, you know, you need higher performance, your power would be slightly higher. But if you have a short chip-to-chip or a short chip-to-optical module link, you can turn off some of these performance knobs and get the power down as well.
Yeah, cool.
And finally, you know, it's all about integration. Integrating so many high-speed SerDes in a single SoC is very challenging.
Yeah.
So we're doing a lot of things to make integration easy for our customers. We're doing a lot of the signal integrity, power integrity analysis. We're putting a lot of effort in designing, evaluating substrate designs. We're putting a lot of effort into proving the crosstalk of, you know, when you put so many lanes together, your crosstalk has to be contained to some levels. So a lot of the effort is going post-GDS, you know, in terms of how our customers are going to take this IP and integrate it into a super complex SoC.
Sure.
Yep.
All right, man. I mean, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. So since you haven't been on Fish Fry yet, I'm going to throw my standard off-the-cuff to you. Here we go. You have one last meal on planet Earth. That's it. You're going to have one last meal. What would it be?
Well, I do have a sweet tooth.
Okay.
So I will likely go for a tiramisu, probably.
Yes. I love that answer. I don't think I've had a dessert answer for that question in a very long time. Excellent. I might share some tiramisu with you. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Amelia. Thank you very much.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can check out the Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, sorry, gonna have to miss CES again this year. Darn it. Or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com. I promise I will respond. Or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of January 3rd, 2020, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.